Something to note is that real estate investment is an illiquid investment. And before you buy, you must always note that the moment you buy this, you have to plan for your exit. Because you don't want to buy something that is unsellable, or you don't want to buy something that takes you a long time to sell. It means that the moment about 5 to 8 years later, when you see something that you like, or you want to expand your portfolio to buy a bigger property or a smaller property or split into more properties, and you cannot exit this because our names are so precious now with all the ABSD cooling measures, then it will become an event that you feel that, hey, why did I buy this property 5 or 8 years ago that now is so hard to find the next right buyer? Recording, huh? Alright, welcome back on Nuggets on the Go. Alright, welcome back on Nuggets on the Go. Today we're heading into Cracking the Code series, and this time around, I'm going to talk about everything numbers, return on investment on real estate property investment. Let's go. Alright, so I just got back from speaking at an event, not literally, because even though I'm wearing like the same clothes, if you can see behind the screen here, it's already after a week after that event. So it was a 99.co jointly hosted with Sid Lee, and I was very honored and privileged to be invited as one of the keynote speakers in the morning, talking about the real estate market in Singapore, and of course, well, some of the key mistakes that a lot of homeowners make when they're upgrading to a private property and how to avoid them using some key frameworks. And this was some of the sneak preview during the event. It was like a full turnout that 99.co and Sid Lee hosted. I think there was about 400 plus over audiences at the entirety of this property seminar. So this was some of the things that we shared. So there was one a very interesting question asked by one of the audiences during our Q&A segment, talking about return of investment using real estate as an investment asset vehicle compared to, of course, other equities, or whether is it bonds, REITs, S&P 500 stocks, or other forms of investment instruments. So basically, in terms of methodology, I personally invest in equities and more liquid kind of investments. For example, S&P stocks, and I hold various kind of instruments across board in terms of my diversification portfolio. However, of course, because I'm in real estate, and after doing real estate for 16 years, I firmly believe in real estate, particularly in Singapore as a form of investment. And thus, a lot of my personal investment is in the real estate segment as a form of investment vehicle for my own wealth portfolio. So today, I want to dive in on this key question about the ROI in order for a real estate investment to make sense. And I'm going to head in to show a lot of numbers later. This was, of course, one of the exercises that we just did during our own internal inside sales team consultants training. And Taz, I want to share this with you as well. So this will be the scenario for today. And we're going to pump out the numbers for two properties in terms of different price ranges so that you can have a glimpse of roughly how it will feel like in terms of the monthly installment, the rental, and of course, all the different kinds of expenses when it comes to real estate investment. Of course, something to note is that real estate investment is an illiquid investment. It is more illiquid than liquid investment. For example, if investing in stocks, bonds, of course, you will have a period of period that you have to fulfill. But in terms of like several instruments, ETF funds and all that kind of stuff, it is more liquid, whereby you can exit and enter easily. But for real estate, take note that because it takes time to purchase a property, it takes time to complete the sale transaction. It also takes time to find the next right buyer. Thus, it's very important to plan in advance. And before you buy, you must always note that the moment you buy this, you have to plan for your exit, because you don't want to buy something that is unsellable, or you don't want to buy something that takes you a long time to sell. Because if it takes a long time to sell, it means that the moment about 5 to 8 years later, when you see something that you like, or you want to expand your portfolio to buy a bigger property or a smaller property or split into more properties, and you cannot exit this because our names are so precious now with all the ABSD cooling measures, then it will become an event that you feel that, hey, why did I buy this property 5 or 8 years ago that now is so hard to find the next right buyer? And thus, we always want to avoid unsellable mistakes. So if you want to have a look at this particular segment that I did at the event, do click on the link down below to head on to our landing page. I'll be very happy to share with you what was being shared during that particular event if you want to see what are the three top mistakes to avoid when buying your private property, as well as some of the key frameworks that we use in our PLB consultation with our clients. And this is a scenario where I want to talk about a $1.5 million property investment, $2 million property investment. And this is an investment property. It's not an own-stay property. Take note that there's a key fundamental difference between own-stay and investment because there's a mix of emotions. If you are talking about own-stay property, basically it's a whole set of criteria. Why? Because own-stay property has very simple kind of mindset is that this is really to fulfill my needs for my own roof over my head. And of course, it's to fulfill my needs for my family as well. Of course, there are a mixed needs that maybe I want it to be near school, near my workplace and stuff like that. But very importantly, if you're talking about own-stay, if you don't own a property, it means that you have to rent. If you don't own a property, it means that you probably have to stay with somebody else, maybe your parents or your siblings. So there's always an opportunity cost involved. But of course, a lot of people want to buy an own-stay property with a hybrid engine. That means it fulfills needs and hopefully it also can see some level of appreciation in its price. Because always note that even though we always talk about the fact that when you pay a set of monthly installment in your property, sorry, this one I need to lengthen it a little bit. Okay. For example, if your property is about $5,000 per month in terms of a monthly installment, if I break down into the calculator format, so very simply, let's say if you head to our PRB website, let me just open it up for you, and you just need to head on to this portion here. Under tools segment, you can enjoy all the free tools at propteamrus.com website because our prop tech team has already developed them over the past year. And let's just come into this monthly loan repayment. Just need to enlarge this. For example, $1.5 million property. And then you click on, let's say 3.2% fixed interest rate now. And let's say you can loan for maybe 25 years, all right? So let's say you're 40 years old now, can loan for 25 years. If you are, just need to take 65 minus your current age. Max tenure, 30 years. If you want to extend the tenure, that is 1 year after you enter into the loan of a property and you can refinance it to pack to 75 years tenure, all right? So let's just take an example. Okay, maybe 30 years. Let's say you're 35 years old. You are upgrading to a prior property. Take a 75% loan, which is the max amount, 1.125. This is your monthly installment, 4865. And let's say if you calculate it, you will see this portion here that though your monthly installment is 4865, okay, let me just clean this up. 4865. There's a P and I portion. P is principal, I is interest. Interest is what the bank is interested in because they were the one that loaned you 75% of it. But they don't have to share your profit when you sell your property for a profit when it appreciates. Basically, how property investment work is like this. You leverage from the bank. It's considered a good debt. But the bank is only interested that you have to fulfill two things. Number one, every month, the monthly installment, they take the interest. Number two, you have to pay your monthly installment. If you cannot pay for 3 months, they will take the property. All right. So interest portion right here is $3,000, example. Principal 1865. Take note that when you take a loan, the loading period that is the heaviest is the first 4 years. Let me just give you an example. After 48 months, you start to realize that, hey, the interest portion drops to about 2,007. The principal portion went to about 2,002. Because the bank is very interested in the front portion, the loading part, because that's the part that they want to have more interest payment at the start. And of course, as you pay down your property, you start to realize that it starts to tweak. Let's say, example, if I go on to month number 292, which is many, many years later, your interest portion will then drop to about 816. Your principal portion starts to build up to about $4,000. Now, whatever that goes into principal comes back to you when you sell the property. All the interest payment goes to the bank because it's only fair. You come up with 25% only, they come up with 75% for you to stay in this property. Now, this is, of course, the fundamental explanation of buying your own state property because technically this is your cost, the interest payment. It is still better to pay to the bank the interest and own your own property when you have an option to sell next time rather than you pay the full rental of, let's say, $4,800 to a landlord to rent a property because you do not have an own state property. This makes sense in Singapore because our land is scarce. Population is increasing. But in overseas, in countries that there's an oversupply of properties, you have tons of choices. Actually, sometimes in certain countries, renting a property makes more sense because rental is cheaper than the risk of owning a property whereby you cannot sell the property because there are just too many properties. But in Singapore, it definitely makes sense, especially when our home ownership rate is about 90%. Okay, but back to this topic. So for today's, we're going to talk about the objective of this real estate investment is that this is a second or third or fourth property. It's not for own stay. And the objective always for buying a property for investment compared to more liquid investments is that you want to leverage. That means you're putting 25%, but you can own something of 100%. So if let's say you buy a $1.5 million property, you only need to put in 25% plus certain cost, buyer stamp duty and all that. But you get to own a $1.5 million property. You don't have to save up to $1.5 million property to own a $1.5 million property. That's the power of leverage. And the objective must be that this property must appreciate. Always remember, if you don't have the intention for your investment real estate to appreciate, don't go into real estate. The key fundamental objective is to let the property appreciate, and thus selecting the property is very important. And it must have rental income because a real estate investment is considered like a second, kind of like a part-time business that you are starting. There's work involved. You have to maintain the property as a landlord. You have to pay your property tax. You have to hire somebody to do repairs and all that kind of stuff. It is considered starting a part-time business. The more investment property you have, the more part-time businesses you're starting. So as a landlord, you're sort of like a part-time business owner starting all this part-time investment. And I will come to this at the end of today's NOTG is that there are four primary kind of outcome. And of course, the triple star rating will be the fourth one, whereby you see appreciation and you see rental. Let me get to the spreadsheet right now. The first scenario is that this is a no-no scenario. That means if you happen to own this property or you are going into an investment property without knowing this, this is a clear sign of danger. So I put one X right there. Basically, if your property did not appreciate and your rental cannot cover the monthly installment, this is a very worst outcome. So I put in this like a 10 years investment property. So this is based on a 10 year calculation in terms of all the expenses that you need to fulfill as a property owner. $1.5 million, $2 million. And basically, what happens is this. We are assuming that you have 5% cash, I highlighted in rate. And 5% cash of $1.5 million property will be $5,000 in cash, $100,000 in cash in terms of $2 million. And assuming you have CPF of $300,000, CPF of $400,000, total CPF use will be this because we added in the buyer stamp duty. Take note that buyer stamp duty can be paid with CPF, but for resale properties, you have to pay in cash first. And once the property is completed after 3 months, your lawyer can actually claw back from the CPF OA account back to you to refund you in cash. For new launch, you can actually pay directly using your CPF account. Now, total cash use is 5%, which is here. And of course, legal fees, we just put in a lump sum figure. And thus, the total amount you need to put in for $1.5 million property is about $422,000 and $572,000 for a $2 million property. Now, that is the same scenario for all the four objectives we are talking about today. So basically, whether is it 1, 2, 3, 4, we'll be using the same set of calculation. I hope that you follow me so far. And let's come back to this. Scenario number one is that this property, after you own for 10 years, you bought at 1.5. After 10 years, when you want to sell, somehow or rather, the price did not grow and is still at $1.5 million. And what will be your final outcome? Similarly, you bought a $2 million property. After 10 years, it did not appreciate in price. It is still $2 million. And then you just feel that, hey, you know, I don't want to hold this property anymore because the renter also cannot cover the installment. I don't want to top up every month. Let me just exit. Just bite the bullet and exit. I want to retire already. Okay, so this is the scenario. Assuming your monthly installment is 5632 based on the loan tenor. And of course, we are basing this on a set of calculations right here, which is $1.5 million on, let me just come back to the calculator to show you the exact calculation based on a 25-year scenario. Okay, so how do we get 5632 in terms of monthly installment? Basically, we take $1.5 million as the purchase price. average fixed interest rate of 3.5%, which is fair because there are instances where Singapore goes to 2%, 1%, sometimes 4%. And of course, in the whole old heydays, it was 5%, 6%. But let's base it on 3.5% now that we have SORA rates, which is the pack away from the international rate. So I think it's more stable. And by 2024, all mortgage rates will be based on SORA, which is the local Singapore interbank sort of rates, which is not too volatile. Now, 5632 for $1.5 million property, we take it as 25 years, assuming that you're investing this while you're in your 40s. And of course, let's say $2 million will be 7509. All right. So as you can see from these two figures here, monthly installment. So the first scenario is that the property did not appreciate because after 10 years, property price appreciates 0% per annum and your rental cannot cover your installment. So actually every month, you have to top up about $2,000. So why is it that you have to top up $2,000? Is because your monthly installment is 5,600, your MCSC is 400. Total cost of holding this investment property is at about $6,000, but you are only collecting $4,000 in rental for this, assuming this 3-bedder at an OCR region or maybe a 2-bedder at a RCR region, or maybe a 1-bedder at a CCR region, all right? Now, for this property, $2 million, you have to top up about $2,900 per month. And this will be the worst outcome. Why? Because take note, after 10 years, if you decided to sell the property, this is the agency fees you pay to your broker. Your outstanding loan after 10 years, your CPF use, your accrued interest on your CPF, and the total cash proceeds that you take from your law firm when you completed the sale will be this two amount. However, at the back end, you still have to cover your cost of 10 years of property tax and additional cash top up per month and your rental agency fees. So technically, after we less off all these out-of-pocket kind of expenses, the net cash received is actually $62,000 negative and negative $124,000. So your cash-on-cash ROI, meaning that initially you put in $75,000 cash at the start, but after 10 years, you lost $62,000. So basically, it's a negative 183% ROI on your cash, negative 224% on this $2 million property on your cash. And total ROI for your cash and CPF is also negative 9%. So basically what has happened is that this is a totally negative investment. And when you look at this, if the property price did not appreciate, if your rental cannot cover the installment, this is a no-go. And this will be a very worst off kind of scenario for you. All right. Scenario number two. Scenario number two is depicted here. The price did not appreciate, but somehow you bought a property that has good attributes. The rental grows. Maybe it's very near to an MRT station, international school. It's near to a kilometers of some very popular schools that even local families want to rent this property for 30 months to get into the school, fulfill the requirements of phase 2C. And somehow, because of URA master plan, and of course, maybe it's near to a mall, near to MRT station, it's near to integrated hub. There's a lot of expatriates. There's a lot of traffic there as well. And the property somehow always gets tenanted. Low vacancy rate. Very popular. Every time your broker puts out an advertisement on property portals, the tenant snap out immediately. People bid for the price and price appreciates in terms of rental and it can sort of cover the installment over a period of 10 years. So let's take these two scenarios again. And here, I'm assuming that the rental can cover your installment, but it cannot cover your MCST. So we're also playing it a bit safe here, all right? It can cover, but it cannot cover. So you still have to top up some cash for MCST fee, all right? And what will be the outcome, even though the price did not appreciate, is that when we calculate this, the net cash proceed is better in a sense because your out-of-pocket expenses is less. Your additional cash top up has dropped to $48,000. These are all basically into your MCST fee. Of course, your rental agency fees, we basically factor in like per year, you pay half month to your broker. Property tax, we take an assumption. Of course, we didn't take into consideration, for example, the repairs of the property over the years. Let's say you need to change your account, all this kind of stuff. That'll be an additional amount, which we didn't put in here. But overall, if you notice, when your price did not appreciate, but somehow your rental can cover the monthly installment over the years, what is going to happen is that you're going to see positive cash on cash return. Because initially you put in $75,000 cash, you put in $100,000 cash, your cash on cash return ROI is different. Your total ROI is also different. It now becomes a positive number. So rule number two is that for your property investment to make sense, even though if price never appreciate, if your renter can cover installment, it is considered a positive. Because when we go back to just now the first explanation to you, the rental that you collect every month from the tenant is helping to pay for these two components, P, principal. So the tenant is feeding your principal to you. So the principal amount from every month's monthly installment comes to you and is released to you when you sell the property. The I goes to the bank. So the tenant is actually sustaining this property for you. And every month as an owner, you put in that 25% down payment and stamp duty at the start. You top up every month for MCST. But end of the day, when you exit after 10 years, even though the price did not grow, but you still see a positive gain. And we give it one star here. Now, let's go to the third scenario. Third scenario. Basically, I'm shrinking it to 5 years because I just want to show you that even at a 5 years horizon, if you were to select a property that can appreciate at 5% per annum, let's just take for example 5% per annum. Now, over the past 3 years, because of COVID, landed property price shot up about 20% over. Over the last 3 years from 2020 until now, private property also about 20%. The base scenario is that every year, single-digit growth has been happening for the past many, many years. But let's just take for example, it appreciates by just 5%. And I didn't take into consideration compounding effect for simplification. But let's just take for example, every year appreciates by 5%. It's an OCR property, 3-beta, maybe this is a 4-beta. It grows by 5%. So after 5 years, this property at 1.5 million becomes 1.875. This becomes 2.5. Now, this has been happening in the OCR region for the past years. And we're just taking it as an example. It doesn't have to be OCR. It can be other areas. After cost. And I'm taking this as scenario three, whereby it appreciates, but the renter cannot cover your installment. What is going to happen is that if you take a look at this, estimated renter is 4. It cannot cover. It's 5. Every month, you still have to top up. But have a look at the base figures. Basically, your cash on cash return changes. Initially, you put in 75K, it becomes 322 at the end. Initially, you put in 100K, it becomes 404 at the end. Your ROI on cash and CPF is 69%, and this is 64%. So it becomes better than scenario 2. Now, the key fundamental reason is because this appreciation fuels a lot of revenue into this property investment. Even just for a 5 years period, you see a greater ROI on your cash on cash on two portions already. And the cash proceeds, of course, is more. You have, even though you have cash top up, but you are still net quite positive. And you can just take these two amount together with your CPF that is being released, go into another property. All right. So scenario three, I give it 2 stars. Renter cannot cover, but price grows at 5%. Now, scenario four, of course, will be the best. Scenario four, also over a 5 years period, property appreciates, renter covers, but you still have to top up MCST and your cash on cash returns becomes even more powerful. Your total ROI becomes more powerful as well over a 5 years period. Of course, you want to take what is 1 year, you take 87% divided by 5. Then your annual ROI basically becomes like this. Equals to this, divided by 5 years. Annual ROI is 17%. So of course, that gives you an idea about whether do you want to go into like a property investment or can you actually make more returns in the equities market or other forms of instrument. Of course, this is a personal preference kind of thing because for real estate investment, there's still work that needs to be done. Sometimes for equities is that you just park your funds there. But of course, it depends on risk appetite. Of course, certain more senior traders, they went into leverage and stuff like that. And I always believe that the fundamental framework of whether should you go into real estate investment or other forms of equities or asset kind of investment is that you have to understand the asset that you're investing in, because investment comes with risks. Investment comes with returns. Anything that has returns have risks. The higher the returns, the higher the risk. The lower the returns, the lower the risk. And you should always understand the pros and cons before you dive into it. You shouldn't just go into it blindly just because your friends are doing it together, right? So I hope that this episode helps you. And I will sum it up with this slide, is that the triple star rating will go to the fourth scenario. Now, if you want to get into some of the calculations, and you, let's say you're very interested in this calculator and you're contemplating an investment, you can, of course, click on the link below or scan this QR code. Our Inside Sales Team consultants will be very happy to sit down with you through a 45-minute session if you want to go into some deep dive mechanics of the property that you want to invest in. Of course, this is a no obligation consult session held back in our PRB office. I'm going to share this QR code with, and also with the link in the description box below. So if you're keen to meet our consultants, just scan that, and I think and our client experience team will be in touch with you for an appointment. No obligation in our office. Come and enjoy some Starbucks coffee, and we hope to see you on the next NOTG Cracking the Code. Meantime, take care. Welcome back to our Nuggets on the Go. Today we're heading into Cracking the Code. And now, welcome back to Nuggets on the Go. Today we're... Welcome...